All right. Welcome, guys, to another episode of Tech Trends. We have a lot of news this week because CES happened. And Renee, you didn't know what CES was, right?
I don't know what CES. Can you explain to us what CES is?
So CES is like basically, I had a different word for it, but it's kind of like Wonderland. It's like the future is now. It's the one conference of the year that basically every company puts their most fantastic, like imaginable product out there that may never actually go to market, but will be seen by a lot of people. And a lot of people like it and the concept is good. And actually, you know, it might actually become a product someday. So it's a lot of like sandboxing. Like they might actually have like a prototype out there. Sometimes they don't have a prototype, just like a video or something, but most people want to have like a prototype because then it's, you know, you want to be more credible.
So, but what does CES stand for?
Oh, so, what was it? Sorry. I apologize. I forget what it was called. It's Consumer Technology Association. So CES, it's held every year in Las Vegas in Nevada, USA. And this year, a lot of it's in the convention center, the Las Vegas Convention Center, but now it's going to be on, like most of it's online, but some of it's still probably in person, I think. But yeah, it's the future is now. It's showing the really cool products. And that's our first topic for today. We're going to talk about all the awesome, not all of them, but like a decent amount of products that are talked about.
I can't wait to hear about that. I can't wait to hear more about this. Go ahead and explain to us, Joe, a little bit more about this.
All right. So our first product was a high-tech N95 mask, dealing with the global virus that's been out there. It's developed by Razer, which is usually a gaming company. They do a lot of keyboards, a lot of headsets, a lot of other different products. And they just brought, like, I'm not sure how, like, we'll get like FDA approval for how tight it's supposed to be for actual N95, you know, that'd be a really important thing because otherwise it's just a regular mask then, but it's got all this high tech in it. That's really cool. If it actually would pass those kind of N95 standards, like 3M has. And it's got like a lot of stuff in there. It's got built-in UV sanitation. And it also, so it sanitizes when it's turned on and it sanitizes when it's charging. What's really cool is it allows you to, when it's lit up, but also the screen, instead of like a regular mask where you can't see a person's mouth and lips moving, this one has some like a window ability that you can see through it, especially the lighter one. And it allows you to, you know, make some like smile at your patient basically with actually seeing the lips or something.
Here's the thing is, Joe, like, does the UV light actually has FDA even approved that UV sanitation works? Has that been proven yet?
I'm not the expert in finding about that, but I do know a lot of people who have bought products like that and who swear by them. The thing is, it just depends on practicality, you know? Like I'm not sure exactly if somebody else knows more, but maybe you have to hold the UV light over something for a period of time, like 15 seconds or something. I don't know what it is, right? Is the UV big enough? And are you not like looking into it? Or what are all the different things that are coming up with using UV? You know, there's UV wands and stuff, but it's just about how effective it is, like how long you have to do it. Is it too tedious? What's the practical now? So this is just cool because, you know, what I've been doing recently with my masks that I use, I didn't do it in the beginning of all this problem, but I have been doing it recently. It was just kind of a little tedious, but not too bad. I spray hand sanitizer on my masks now, inside and outside. Yeah. And then, you know, it's alcohol, right? So it's going to like evaporate within like, you know, 20 seconds or, you know, whatever. But I've been a little bit OCD. I do it before and after I put the mask on, and I use hand sanitizer on my hands and everything. But this is just cool though, because it has LEDs and it lights up, like the circles light up, and it might be too intimidating for some people, but I think the lighter one is more applicable for like professionalism, you know? Like the black one might look like it's too military like, and the white one looks like it's more like it's like tan. It's more like medical looking.
I was about to say that it does look like that.
Yeah. So it's got active ventilation. So I'm not, I would hope if it's going to, they call there an N95 that it wouldn't let stuff come out, because there are some ventilators you wear that you can, it prevents stuff from getting in, but it would breathe your air out unfiltered. Correct. So I think this one would go both ways, but that's up to Razer to back their claims if they're doing that.
Yep.
So that one's really cool. Then some other ones that are just, you know, depends on what your use is. HP has the Dragonfly Max with a 5-megapixel webcam. They're putting this into their powerful laptops. It's got a built-in tile tractor. It's attractive blue design and only to the new laptops. And I don't really know about this, but it's got 4 wide range microphones. So I guess it can
interesting.
Just pick up, it can pick up a lot of different, you know, maybe it's like, I don't know. Maybe it's like, yeah, I don't know. It's omnidirectional then.
Interesting.
You know? And so Zoom could use that kind of, webcam, and you know, you're always wanting a better webcam on your, like a built one into your laptop.
Yep. Sure do. Sure do.
So the next one is LG has this rollable thing, which I never heard of. These are new things too, but a smartphone that rolls upward to expand the viewing area of the screen. So it's similar to like a foldable screen, like a foldable phone, you know, flip phones.
Yep, definitely.
But I've never seen this in practice.
Never have I either.
I know I said I didn't get to see an image of this, but I think some countries are more into their mobile phones, and depending on which market, they have like some more of these like eccentric things like this. So the other one, the next topic, the next item was the one thing that you were talking about for a while. Well, they're talking about more using automation to maybe do like it says the Cadillac, GM has a Cadillac, air taxi. So right now it's just kind of like a concept. They say it's like more like a drone than a flying car, but you know,
yeah,
the future is here, and someday the near future will be here. And maybe this will actually, you know, it's got these, giant, propellers down there to keep it up. And also up here too, it's got, you know, it's got on the bottom and on the top of it. So it's got many of them. I'm not sure how loud that would run. That'd be like an important thing. If they put soundproofing in here.
Yeah.
You know, and inside the cabin.
Yeah. And the next thing is that actually, how is it? Is it fully controlled by AI? Have they released that information, Joe?
I believe it would be, it would not be like manually controlled.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's kind of a dangerous if it is, because I heard that the taxis are supposed to be coming out by sometime in the next couple of years or so.
Yeah. So this just seen this image. I'm not sure. I think this might be a virtual world image maybe, but I don't know. It's getting closer.
Yeah, because they've actually developed stuff like this already. It's been out in the test. There's in other countries, they've already testing it out.
Cool.
I just don't know how and where, more information. I don't know if I have that information correct, but I just know it's been flying around through cities and stuff like that, and been in the actual test world. So don't know if it's a secured zone or what, don't know too much information, but I know they've done some successful test flights, but I don't know how high they've flown either. They have not said anything on that.
Yeah, getting into one of these would definitely be a way bigger thrill than going down a roller coaster.
Oh, tell me about it.
I have to see like a lot of videos like proving like that this could like support certain weight groups and like weather, you know, with wind and other things.
Yeah, tell me.
Imagine if a storm comes in when you're up there by accident.
Oh, like, that too. Is that going to be a restriction?
Yeah, like it'll say like, oh, we're only going to fly with like 3 or 4 or 5 mile per hour winds or something. They have to have some.
Yep.
And then they have to have enough wiggle room in case it increases while you're still descending, you know?
And all this is controlled by AI. You're gonna feel like shifting to the left, and then the drone's controlling to the right, and you're gonna feel all that pressure, and you're gonna be like, What do I grab?
I think at that point I would just close my eyes.
Imagine going down, you open your eyes.
Ah! Yeah. Don't open your eyes.
Oh man.
But yeah, that'd be kind of cool if it actually becomes, you know, it has certain purposes. So let's talk about the next one. Samsung's got some cool solar powered remotes.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I guess it's similar to, you know, like you have solar calculators, you know, they have those little solar panels on them, and yeah. the calculator will, you know, those are really old ones, like compared to now, but I guess that you have that same stuff on your remote. And I guess, you know, I don't know, like it's, I guess it's wondering, you know, well, how long does a charge last? Right.
Yep.
Do you get enough sunlight so that it works if you're like a 2 a.m. TV watcher?
What it probably does.
Or they're like, no, you gotta get up and you gotta touch that that knob.
It probably charges in the day. You have to leave it out in the open just to be able to recharge the batteries for maybe like, maybe it has a 7-day lifespan on the batteries.
It could be some really big number, because like batteries for laptops are getting better and better, and we're saying, oh, it's only when you press the remote that it needs energy.
Correct.
It could last a lot longer than we're thinking. If you think about it,
we have solar panel for houses, and you're not using it. What's live? You're saving it into a battery, and the house is drawing energy from that battery and pulling back into your house. So maybe the remote is doing the exact same thing.
Oh yeah. I would see it would do the same thing. I'm just saying, like, I didn't like think about it. Like, the remote is just barely using any energy.
Correct.
And that was the thing that was kind of like, okay, I guess it's like, you just kind of forget, like, oh yeah, you have your phone, right? Your phone can last for a long time. And if this charges, maybe it's the initial charge. Like they tell you initially, keep your phone out for your remote out for this long. And then after that fact, you don't have to do it too long.
Yeah. Could be, man.
So yeah, it might be the end of using batteries for remotes for the people who can afford it.
Yep.
Oh, and they also said you can flip it over and let it charge from the mini solar panel, or if you're in like, I guess Alaska, if you have like no sun.
Oh my god!
you have no sun for like 12 or 14, I don't know, 24 hours or something. You can plug it into a USB-C port.
I was going to say, isn't it like 6 months of daylight and then like 6 months of evening?
Something like that. I don't know exactly. It's something pretty nutsy up in,
well, if you're from Alaska, you could tell us right now or give us information more about how your time zones are, because that's to what I've heard by some people that I know, but I don't believe everybody, but they tell me.
You know, there's a website you can do that. It's basically like sunset and sunrise. It's pretty cool. It shows you, like, for my state of Minnesota, it shows me, oh, in December, I have the most amount of night. I have like, yeah, I can't remember now. It's like maybe like 13 hours or something. And then, yeah, I could input like Alaska and see.
Really?
It would probably be winter that they have, like, because they're the same hemisphere. So winter, yeah. They're having their darkest nights.
Yeah, because I know they said that it goes down to like the almost like a sunset, sun, like almost all the way down, but they have like a mild sun, just very mild. Unless there's like a blizzard coming in, you know, a snowstorm coming in, it gets darker.
I personally would have a problem with like day all the time.
I would so too.
Like you could have your blackout shades, but you'd have to have expensive ones to really do it. And I don't know, it's just really weird. So our next topic is about LG. I've seen this. Linus Tech Tips did something about this. They have LG has a transparent OLED display. So basically, when the OLED TV is turned off, you can see through it. So the concept is like you could put it like you know, some people, I don't know, they have their TVs in their kitchen or wherever they have them, right? And you want to be able to see like the background when it's not on. Well, maybe you have like a picture in the background or some, you know, you're trying to make, you want your living room to look bigger when the TV's off, because you have it at like your TV on like the centerpiece instead of like, I have mine closer to the wall, but it's covering the fireplace. It's so it's blocking out things. So, you know, whoever can afford this, they're really expensive, but they're really cool, I guess. You know, they kind of like pretty good image quality.
Yep.
So, they're saying some of the interesting things that LG was saying is you could use this tech on train windows. You know, like, do you think right now, like, trains wouldn't really have room to put TVs in there? But now you can have them on. Now the window is now a TV. That's pretty sweet. Restaurant partitions. So I guess just having, you know, like maybe the glass or something. I'm not sure exactly. I don't know. You could maybe, I'm not sure if they can embed it. And then they said, this is the weirdest one, hiding away in the footboard of a bed. So
I've seen
your
that.
TV is part of your bed.
Yeah. And it just slides up and it just starts to show on. I've seen that. I've seen houses that have that.
Oh man. Yeah, that would not be me, but, you know, you try to have, I have to have darkness, and so I do have, I don't know, I'm not sure if TVs have, like, dark mode where you could do, like turn to red, you know, watch everything in, like, slightly tinted red, but that's what I use my laptop for. It got night mode.
Yep.
So our next one, TCL TVs are expanding to 85 inches and 8K. So I personally, this is my dream because I wanted it to get, you know, I want the TV that can cover a whole room's wall, basically. And this is a little bit closer to that, but that maybe that'll never be a reality. But 85 inches and 8K. Okay. And they're bringing it to a lot more people, you know, which is relative. But yeah. What do you think about 8K TVs, 85 inches?
I think that's ridiculous, Rudy. 8K, I think that's way beyond what we should be having already.
Because the 4K ones were getting down pretty cheap.
Correct.
Where you can kind of like buy one for like maybe like a 50 or 40 inch or something for like $300 or something.
Tell me about it. I have a 4K TV in front of me.
Oh, do you?
I have a 4K TV, but I don't have anything 4K.
No programs.
No programs 4K, no applications for 4K, no game systems that's 4K, nothing's 4K, man. Some YouTube videos every now and then are 4K, but even my TV still won't even recommend 4K. It does 1080.
I think I probably have like a 720 or 1080p TV, and I haven't thought to upgrade it ever. And, one, because we only have public television. I'm not sure, like, what's the max, like, you Google it. What's the max public television resolution that they can do?
I don't know.
Probably don't go beyond, like, 720 or something.
Probably. I know it. My show is 10. It says 1080, but I don't believe that we're getting the full 1080.
We're getting, yeah. Like, it's saying, like, the whole thing, like, your TV's in 1080, but the actual video is a lot less.
Correct.
Basically, it just keeps changing.
Yeah.
So our next topic is about a ceiling lamp. Nobi has a fall sensing ceiling lamp. It helps, you know, seniors who are most at risk, you know, for like a fall, and so it can detect them and you know, other risks that happen, and send alerts. Also, it multi functional. It's got built-in smoke detector. Air quality sensor and a 4G SIM case, SIM card in case the Wi-Fi goes down.
Interesting.
So some protections for people who live alone or people who are just worried about their loved ones. Another one, some of these are basically pandemic related, you know. Alarm.com had the touchless video doorbell. So you don't touch it. There's a doormat, and it'll alert you when someone arrives at your doorstep, and then lets you look at the app you know, through, sorry, talk to them through an app with the built-in microphone and camera. So it helps you prevent, you know, catching coronavirus on the door handle or doorknob or, you know, whatever, right? From both parties.
I was about to say that Ring does that. I want to say it does. It lets you know when there's somebody approaches.
What does?
Ring, the doorbell.
The doorbell Ring?
No, it tells it the name of the company is Ring.
Okay, because I was like, yeah, I never heard of Ring.
Yeah, Ring actually is it's a doorbell. It has a camera on it and you can speak through it to the person.
That's cool. We have a Google one, I believe. I can't remember what it's called, but it just shows us the image when someone presses the doorbell. I don't think it has like audio. It might, but I don't think so. But yeah, I'm surprised that we're all like downloading the app so we can all be a notified.
Yep.
Pretty sweet.
How many apps do we have already on our phone?
But they're still touching the doorbell and stuff. Yeah.
How many more do we need?
Yeah, gosh. Probably too many.
We already have like maybe like 300 of apps on our phone.
Yeah. So the other one, this is the one that's really cool. This is the one that we used for our drawing, our thumbnail. Samsung has this robot butler, the bot Handy. And yeah, Samsung was pretty cool. Had a lot more robots, you know. It's actually pretty sensitive. It's a robot that looks like about 3.5 feet tall or so. It's got this arm that can put dishes in and out of dishwashers. They even showed it pouring a bottle of wine, which was pretty sweet.
That is interesting.
It had a good hand-eye coordination, I guess.
And here's the question: How does it know how much to pour?
hey, bot Handy, pour me half glass.
And how does it detect what kind of how big the glass is?
Well, I suspected it would have to have like a camera, because that's how it's like moving around, like to touch your dishes and stuff. So maybe there's a database of glass sizes. Just a little bit of a not much storage needed for that, maybe.
Maybe.
But yeah, it's pretty cool. They're saying that this was like a similar ooh and ah moment to the laundry folding robot that was shown a few years ago.
I remember that one.
I think this one has more application, maybe.
Maybe.
You know, like imagine if this one, see that, you know, it could pick something up. Imagine if this thing went to the front door and opened the door.
Oh my God. Please don't tell me about that.
I'm just saying it has applications. It's kind of like, you know, have this thing go somewhere where you think it's too dangerous to go.
The robot would open up my apartment to a burglar. Like, oh yeah, you're welcome to come in. I'll close the door on your way out.
Imagine if you're locked out of your apartment or something, and you tell the robot to go like unlock your door and open it for you.
That'd be nice. I've actually locked myself out of my apartment because my fiance had my keys already in the vehicle. Nancy took the other set of house keys. So I stood outside with my child 3 hours.
Oh, man.
Actually, with our child, we stood outside for 3 hours. So if this robot would actually do that, man,
yeah, it could turn the knob, yeah, and then it could hold the handle.
I don't have to worry about.
I'm just thinking about all the things it could do. Like, let's say somebody collapsed, and it's like, robot, go get phone, and it grabs the phone and brings it to you. You know what I mean? This is a lot.
Imagine it if you fall down on the floor and you have a stroke and you can't even speak and you're just passed down on the floor, just throwing, just shaking or whatever. The robot's like, oh, my odor is getting sick and maybe dying.
That'd be the smart thing. I'm thinking the more comical thing would be it opens your door and walks away saying, help, help, help. You know, it's like asking for help, you know, go find someone for help.
Oh man. Or it walks out, says, I'm leaving you. Bye. It walks out the door, just go down the staircase and drives off into the sunset.
Freedom. Freedom. Oh, but you know this, if it has a long enough arm, it could like help you reach things that you can't reach.
Oh yeah.
Like for people who are just naturally, that's their God-given height, or for someone who had like a leg injury or something and can't get to where they normally get to.
Definitely.
So just so many cool things. Like if this thing can actually be like affordable, you have your health insurance cover this for some reason, and that'd be pretty sweet.
Yep, definitely.
So something that's less amazing like that, but still cool. The Acer Chromebook Spin 514 is more Chromebooks that have more. They're more like how do you put it? Sturdy. They're built for like children who are more likely to not really know how much a laptop costs, and they can't really care, you know. And they have to do their schoolwork on it. So this is just something that is just a more child handy, childproof laptop, I guess. not as childproof as other things I've seen, like tablets where they have like rubber on them and everything, you know.
Yep.
But a little stronger laptop that even I broke my laptop recently. So something that maybe I would have less likely to break.
Yeah, I'm just terrified of my little boy. We got him an iPad, and he's only 2 years old, and he uses it, and we have to make sure he's not standing on it or sitting on it or anything on it. So, but he watches it all the time,
or uses it for like drums or just, I don't know.
he hasn't really done any of that stuff, like to try to damage it. But
so he respects it.
He respects it as to what we know of. So behind closed doors, I don't know what's going on to that poor tablet.
But right now, he knows it's entertainment.
It's entertainment, and it looks like it gets wet every now and then with something.
Yeah.
So I kind of like, are you going to break it? It's only been 8 months, maybe 10 months we bought it, or 8 months.
Well, and yeah, it's always cute. At that age, they always get like sticky fingers. Their hands are always sticky, and you're like, where'd you get all that stickiness from?
Yep, inside the top screen, you could see all the moisture inside it. So I'm like, I just cleaned it, and then within an hour, it has all this stuff inside. I'm like, how the heck did you get that in there?
it's natural to them. So Samsung has this JetBot 90 AI. It's another one of the vacuum cleaners that has AI in it, but it's smarter because it's got some. I've never heard of what LiDAR is, but it's got cameras, and it's more automated than other generations. I guess it's a method for measuring distances by illuminating the target with a laser light and measuring the reflection with a sensor. So it's just got like a lot more detection than ever before. And they were saying that it could double up. It could be a security camera. It can go around your house and like keep footage, you know, of the day that it, you know, when you're not there. So maybe this bot will help you figure out where your kid brings his tablet.
Maybe.
You'd be like, imagine if you had it like trained just to follow your kid around. it'd be the life of your child. It'd be like going around.
Yes, definitely.
So Renee, what do you think about this last one?
Which one?
The Infinity Game Table.
What is that?
Well, what are your thoughts about it though? Because like, okay, so I'll tell you what it is, and then you tell me what you think about it. CNET thinks that the most fun at the CS was the Infinity Game Table. It digitalizes some of the world's most popular games. So it's like a touch screen. It's basically like a glass table. Or, you know, something similar to that, you know, maybe like a little more resistant than an actual glass table, but you can play like Digital Monopoly and other games like that.
I think that's epic. So you don't have to be moving all the game pieces and touching everything. Just touch certain things, certain areas of the screen.
I have a problem with this image here that I'm looking at. It shows like the Monopoly board is way too small. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like everything about it looks too miniature. Like there's all this black trim should be where the game board should be bigger.
Yeah.
It's way too small. Yeah, I guess they're imagining people are putting like their cups there.
I was gonna say that because usually the touchscreen, the usually the board game board is almost like almost what 2 feet.
Yeah, it's pretty big. I think it's bigger than that one. So I think they could have like, I don't know. It's that's a lot of room for like a pop can or something. You know what I mean?
You may never know. You might be able to zoom in and they just have it zoomed out.
Well, I mean, look at all that white space. There's like 6 inches on this side and that side that aren't being used by the game. And then only like one inch here. And then there's like 7 inches of black of all the way around that you can like put your drink. And I just think that needs to be smaller and the screen way bigger.
Maybe it is bigger. They just haven't miniaturized so
maybe it's the software that needs to be fixed.
Yeah. Or it could be actually be that size bigger, the whole table size, but just the viewer, the client or the person that owns that board made it smaller.
Yeah. They need to know how to play. You know, play Monopoly. That's way too small. That's like,
have you ever played Monopoly on your phone?
No, on my phone. You've done that?
Yes. I've even played it on the Xbox.
No, I've never played that. Did you play with a bunch of people or did you play with people online?
We went to a friend of mine's house and then we were playing Monopoly one time.
That's cool.
We were playing there. Me, him, and his my cousin. We were out there just playing. I think it was my cousin. We were out there playing Monopoly.
Was it on a phone?
We were playing on the TV on the Xbox. And the actual characters move around and everything. You can move around the whole board, and then it tells you when to just pass the controller. And the same thing with you. Same thing on the phone. With phone, you can actually be a multiplayer. Yeah, I could play against you and other people, and we all play on our phone.
Interesting.
Maybe I should just jump you on board to Monopoly on your phone, and let's see if you like it.
Yeah, we should try it. But the only problem is I remember how long Monopoly takes.
God dang.
Monopoly sometimes can take like half a day, it feels like.
I heard it could take almost some people 3 days.
Gosh, yeah. I guess depends on how fast the people you play with. But I always remembered that at the end of the game, my feelings would be totally destroyed, and I would be like, I remember one time we played like for like Thanksgiving with my uncle, and I was totally upset with him when he made me go bankrupt.
I was about to say that.
I was so upset.
I was about to say that everybody makes you bankrupt, and there's only one winner, the richest person in the game.
So you know what's crazy about that though? With it's like a miniature family reunion. You get kicked from the table, it feels like. You're like, goodbye, go get isolated, go watch some TV over here. So there's the loser's side and there's the winner's side. The people are so apart from CES, there's some other news, you know, other people who are doing stuff. I don't have the images for that, but I will talk about it. So you know about NVIDIA and how they make their GPUs that are pretty amazing. So the big news for NVIDIA, you know, they have a lot of flashy stuff to show about how successful they've been throughout the year. But the most impactful thing is that they have announced and revealed the RTX 3060. So the RTX 3060 will have the ray tracing that the 2060 had. They haven't announced pricing for the actual, as far as I know, the pricing for the actual RTX 3060. They were talking about how different laptops would be shipping with them, and the entry levels would be usually around like $1,000. So that's something to, if you know about pricing, you can kind of like understand. The RTX 3060 Ti, the step above it, on NVIDIA's website is like reported at like $330, but with the inflation and with the scarcity of parts, with everybody buying stuff because of everybody being stuck at home or something, you know, people are more interested in upgrading their PC to make themselves feel good or whatever. You know, the prices are higher, you know, I don't know, maybe like 400, 430, you know, 500 or something, depending on where you see price gouged, you know, materials.
Yeah.
So, but they talk about the specs of the RTX 3060. It's pretty powerful. It actually has something that's interesting. The RTX 3070 and 3080 that have been around for a while have 8 gigabytes for the 70 and 10 for the 80, but this one actually has 12 gigabytes for the 360 So it has way more, but partly the reason why that is usually the cut down versions usually have obsolete gigabytes that usually aren't being used. But I don't actually know. Now that I'm like second guessing my reasoning here. For some reason, they put 12 gigabytes, maybe because it was like just marketing, like said, like, hey, guys, like, oh, we ran out. We were going to use this for the 3780. But I don't know, because I think they use GDDR6, but maybe they use like GDDR like 6X or something. And that's what it is. They're trying to get rid of like the old generation of VRAM that they were using for the probably the 2080 Ti or something. And so they probably have like 12 gigabytes laying around or something, but usually the 3060 usually sells more because it's cheaper. And so hopefully you want to have a bigger supply. So I'm hoping, I don't know why they're putting 12 gigabytes on there.
I don't know.
So you could use it for, you know, video editing and stuff, but it won't necessarily help you a ton in gaming. But the counterpoint is they're saying that there's some new thing that NVIDIA and AMD have been doing that could maybe potentially take, you know, it won't like beat the 3070 and 3080, but for some reason, there's this one technology that could use, I can't find it right now, but you could use more of that that VRAM in some kind of application. You know? So it's pretty cool. It's got 13 shader TFLOPs. 25 RT TFLOPs, 101 TensorFlops, and 192-bit memory interface with 12 gigabytes of GDDR6 memory. And then what was it saying? It was saying that, it's called resizable bar. Could be an opportunity to use the extra amount of RAM. If anybody knows what resizable bar is, let us know.
What is resizable bar? Explain a little bit on that.
Well, I don't fully know. I'm just kind of looking with everybody else, but I guess, yeah, I don't really know. It's part of the PCI Express specification. I guess I'd have to look into it further to really know about it. It's something I'm not really ready to dive into. That's all right with you, unless you have something.
I don't have anything, man. I don't know. I just feel like throwing it out there. Just no,
it's cool. It's cool if everybody has it. Otherwise, I just couldn't Google it quick enough and find anything. I tried, but I didn't see anything. I mean, I saw stuff, but I didn't really understand it. So this RTX 3060 will be available in late February. So that's a little bit of time of waiting. And then it'll only come as custom boards. Which is pretty good, because usually, you know, NVIDIA's try to do founders editions, but this might, I don't know, it depends, because it could be more expensive because it's board partners and everything. But so we're saying that this could be a popular card because it's offering a lot more performance. Might be more similar to the popularity of the 1060 card, but I remember that one. The 1060 was, I think, $270. So if it's not down at that price point or similar around there, it won't be as popular. Price has a lot to do with how popular it could be, you know? So, I'm just gonna wrap up with NVIDIA saying that, some cool stuff, you know, eventually we'll see like the RTX 3050. And with the 3000 series RTX, this thing, have you heard of DLSS?
DLSS.
Yeah. Man, that sounds familiar. It's it's like super sampling for pixels. So basically, NVIDIA was saying that, you know, if you have 4K native image, versus 4K DLSS, that the super sampling of the AI can actually make the 4K image crisper.
What's going on?
You know, more data. And yet it doesn't have to take as much resources. So the frame rate could be like somewhere between, like if it's 50 with native, it could be like 80 or 90 frames a second with DLSS. So games that offer DLSS in the future will really be able to take advantage of the AI of RTX, and we'll be able to have a lot more frames than we ever did before, hopefully for a cheaper price. Hopefully NVIDIA doesn't raise the price of the GPUs based on how much performance these cards are getting based on previous generations.
You still hear me, right?
Yep. You're still alive. Yeah. Okay. So does that sound cool or what? Do you understand what I was kind of saying?
Yes, I was.
That basically, like, it makes it's closer to making 4K a standard for everybody because it takes less powerful hardware to do it. Like less CUDA cores, less hardware, and then it's just, you know, it's just more efficient. So go on to the next competitor, you know, competitor of NVIDIA, AMD. AMD, you'd like to launch and talk about their laptops at CES. And they're talking about their, last year they're talking about their 4000 series. Now they're talking about their 5000 series. And basically it's just showing that like AMD is, being a huge leader in the PC market right now. They are neck and neck with, Intel, sometimes beating them, sometimes a little bit behind, but barely behind at all. And
yeah, definitely.
Sometimes the better price deal, but sometimes AMD is really going for the money and trying to, you know, be as money producing and profit based as Intel. So it's just cool because we're seeing a lot of like more powerful laptops that are more efficient. And for general gaming, you're just seeing them, the wattage go down, so the power draw go down. They can go faster, have more fast memory cache, and it's just cool to see that AMD is expanding now to 150 different mobile systems with Ryzen 5000, and so it's more of basically AMD and Intel trying to like split, not really, they're not trying to, but it's happening that way. They're kind of like splitting the market for laptops.
Yep, definitely.
And then we have hopes that AMD will blow us out of the water with showing some really cool GPU stuff, because they showed a decent card with the 6800 XT, but I personally wasn't wowed by it because I want to see AMD get closer to NVIDIA, just like they've like surpassed Intel. I don't want them just like fighting at the low end, but I understand the low end because I buy the low end. Right. I don't like to buy more than a $300 GPU.
Yep, definitely.
So I understand that too. But it's usually they're late to the party. They usually have their, like, NVIDIA has their product, and then AMD's coming like a year to 2 years later with a cheaper version for the same performance or something. So the next competitor is about Intel. Intel is showing off their 11th gen processors and showing that, you know, the article is pretty positive about them, saying the PC market is growing. It's been growing 11% last year in 2020. It's growing 25% in quarter of 2020 because of, you know, of what we're all dealing with. And Intel is trying to, they have these Evo, I haven't used any of them, but I guess they're these Evo verified designs, these laptops. And I guess it's maybe like a different branding, like, you know, Chrome, you know, Chromebook, you know. And because of the way they're designed, they have more efficiency. And I guess they're competing. It says Intel Evo for Chromebooks. So I guess I don't even know what I'm talking about with this. I'm serious. Like, have you know what Intel Evo is?
No, I don't. I don't know too much Evo. The only thing I heard about that was just like a hard drive's Evo.
But Evo. I don't really know. I personally don't like Chromebooks because it just like really hurts. Like, it makes me like scratch my brain when I can't get something to work because I don't have like all the control, right? But the cool part is that they're showing that the speed performances are 2.5 times, so, you know, like 250% more in multitasking and up to 5 times faster in web productivity against the competition. So Chromebooks are getting they'll be fast for what they do, and just pretty exciting to see that competition is making everybody have to provide us more performance for the same amount of money.
Yeah, definitely.
And then we're hoping that, you know, Intel shows us some really cool 11th gen, you know, desktop CPUs to compete with Ryzen 5000 and also Ryzen 6000.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's not leave Apple out. Apple's got some news. They're finally redesigning the iMac.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And you have an iMac, right?
Yeah, mine's an iMac, like a 2012 model. It's an old gen.
Do they have like iMac Pro then, or no? Is it just iMac?
I think there is an iMac Pro, just not too sure about it.
Is yours 27 inches?
Mine is 27 inches, exact.
Okay. So now they're going to be releasing one where they got a 27-inch version and a 21.5-inch version. And the cool thing about it is it's going to – well, do you remember – so what do you think the most important change of this iMac is?
I think it should be like the screen. And the hardware – accessing the memory, and that should be much easier.
So yeah, they're just having a better screen, but they can't give you the most expensive one.
Yeah,
which is pretty glossy and amazing. It was the $5,000 Pro Display XDR. But yeah, so I don't know. What do you say?
I was gonna say, because my iMac, man, that screen is thin. It's a thin screen.
Yeah, and they're just saying that the screen, the glass screen, is looking dated, and so they're just modernizing the iMac.
Oh yeah,
you can't be too stale.
Yeah, iMac hasn't changed their layout of their screens for years. Just the thickness of it, that's all they've changed. So yeah. I can't wait to see what's the new design is going to look like. Because I don't think they've released it yet to the public.
No, I don't think so. It's just some news about it, like some new changes are in the works. Remember how we talked about we were going to come back to this topic?
Oh my god, I remember that.
Yeah. So I actually found something that was pretty interesting about it. Instead of like just little things. So Epic Games, it just became public because they filed it in December 8th and December 29th. We were covering how Epic Games and Apple and Google with Fortnite were having a feud in the courts about, taking Fortnite, the Fortnite store, the Epic Game store, off of those platforms, out of the Apple store and out of the Google store, And what's happened recently is they filed in England, UK, right?
Yeah.
And so it's going to be, it's a pretty interesting fight because they actually showed some pretty interesting arguments that I haven't heard before from Epic Games. They were saying that basically they're also suing to get it changed so that you can't prevent Epic Games from trying to be part of the market and say, hey, when you make a phone and you have the operating system on there, can I pay you to have my app pre-downloaded on the phone so someone can see that app? The way it was working is that might not be possible, right? Like if you're having a feud with Google, or even before that, you probably wouldn't have the freedom to say, hey, I want my app pre-downloaded on iOS or on Android,
yeah, definitely.
There's probably certain gate holders and stuff. And they're just making the argument that, what if I don't want to use the Google App Store or Apple App Store? Why can't I have my own store into the phone automatically? Because if they don't have it in the phone automatically, then the only way they can do it is like, maybe like, I'm not sure if you can download an app from the desktop. Like from like, a browser on your phone, Firefox on your phone, and then go to that website and download an app and then install on your iOS or your Android. I think I tried that with Discord, but I think actually, no, I probably went to the a Google store for that. But, yeah. You know, that's a big argument. And then also, I didn't know this. This was an interesting thing. Epic Games actually had some influence on what they did, because Apple, back in November, when Apple's claims that Epic was guilty of theft, that was dismissed by a judge. Apple reduced the fee on sales for in-app purchases from 30 to 15%.
Really?
But only for developers earning less than $1 million per year. So I bet that probably did not include Epic Games if Epic Games was still on the store. So basically it's like conquer and divide, right? Saying 15% while you're growing instead of 30, and only certain people, right? And so hopefully this is enough to help the public like quiet down. Don't talk about this anymore, guys. We changed, right? That's the Reformation. No more pitchforks and telling us to change even more.
Yeah.
Right. But that remains to be seen as to whether the public thinks that's enough, you know,
Depend
whoever wins the public opinion and also who wins in the courts, and the court battles are going to continue until like May.
Yeah. I think this is going to end up, Epic's going to end up winning. It sounds like Epic might end up winning this situation.
And I didn't know this, but if Epic wins, it'll also affect Nintendo, PlayStation, and Xbox that also have they call them the walled garden ecosystems. And I didn't even think about those. It's good. Okay. Basically, if Epic Games wins this, it's gonna like change so much in the tech.
I was gonna say, don't forget Google and Samsung.
Yeah, anybody who has a closed system. So,
be interesting.
Yeah, so this is, you know, they're doing it in the UK. They're not seeking damages unless the courts want to give it to them, but they're doing it in UK, Australia, US. And then there was an update that said that Apple was trying to, tell people that, you know, they've done a good job trying to make a good ecosystem and support people, and they'll continue to do so. And so they hope to be, vindicated in the courts.
Yeah, definitely.
This is the one, though, that I personally think with Apple is this next topic is not even like there's no gray area. I'm just totally against it. Okay. I didn't like the other thing about the closed market and how much they were charging and everything, right? But I was thinking, I was playing devil's advocate saying, well, that's the market, right? But what do you think about this one? Apple begins blocking M1 Mac users from sideloading iPhone and iPad applications.
I think that's stupid. That they should,
like, they're proving my point that why you should go to Windows, right? They're just saying we're gonna control everything. Like, you're trying to use like an Apple app, and we're not gonna let you try to put it. Like, I was asking, like, I love when you can put an app from your phone onto your desktop, because I can do a lot more with my desktop. I'm faster, right?
Didn't Samsung allow this?
I'm not sure.
I forgot who's the one that allowed that. I know Apple was going to do that, but now it's getting out of control, and now they want to control more of it.
Yeah. So I don't understand. If somebody can argue on behalf of Apple, why would you do this?
I think we should be allowed to do anything we want on our own PCs.
Like, why are they not allowing you to? You know what this is? Maybe this is a fight against Epic Games.
Maybe
they're saying like maybe Epic can get around this by like putting an app on your desktop instead of having it on your phone. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not exactly sure. But all I know is, unfortunately, I just don't like how Apple likes to keep putting you into
a small box.
whenever
I that's the one thing. That's why I swap from. I never actually had my main device as an Apple phone. I don't like Apple because they always put you in a box, and you can't customize, you can't do a lot of things on there. So you actually have to go in Windows. You're allowed to be able to do anything you want on it. Even on Android, you'll be able to customize, you can change, you could do this, you could do that without doing any harmful thing to your device. That's the one reason I like it.
Yeah. And I actually, you know, watching like what you've been talking about in the past, like I was kind of convinced that it's okay to have some like, you know what, some control that Apple does. But when they do this kind of thing, this is the kind of thing that it makes me cringe.
Yep.
Like I should be able to, like anything I download on my computer, I should be able to do stuff. You can't touch what I do on my computer.
Correct.
Like after I bought your product, I'm already in your box environment of what you're like now letting me customize. Correct. Now, if I can like manipulate something so I can get like better function of your product, it's like so weird that they wouldn't let me do that.
Yeah. In Windows, you could do it.
Yeah. And then with, with outside of Windows, you could do it in, oh my gosh, I don't know why I can't think of it at the moment. Linux.
Oh yeah.
Which I don't have much experience with, but my brother has dabbled in that.
So I've dabbled in that too. It just not in depth. Your brother probably has more experience than me, but yeah, I've touched that area.
Yeah. So, we've shout out to, Zopex for, being with us today. And, I wanted to say a thank you to everybody who watches our podcast on different platforms like Apple, Google, watch us on YouTube or just so many other platforms. And just a thank you to all of you guys. And I want to wish you well for the next week.
Yep. Same here, guys.
So have a good week. And we'll give you some more tech trends next week.
Yeah, definitely. Next week should be on my channel. Is that right, Joe?
Yeah, we're going to be on Blazin' Tech. So the podcast, you can still catch us on every week on the same platform that you listen to. But for YouTube, we switch between YouTube channels.
Yep. So if you don't want, if one week you catch us here, next week you catch us on my channel. So, and I appreciate that. Subscribe, Zopex.
And it's Blazin' Tech with an apostrophe, right?
Yeah, you could search for both. It doesn't
really matter. Oh, it doesn't matter. It'll pop up. Okay,
cool. It'll still pop up. And I appreciate it. So,
all right, this is Joe and Renee signing out.
Sign out.